On this episode of The Playbook, I have Rick Necchio, co-founder of Necchio and Novak, former executive for 20 years of Anheuser-Busch. And we're going to talk about how coincidences and touches of favor can change your life. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook. I am so excited. I have a killer entrepreneur, Rick Necchio. He is and has started the co-founder of Necchio Novak, but he was a former executive with Anheuser-Busch. What a transition we're going to talk about today. Welcome, Rick, to The Playbook.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
You know, there are no overnight successes. And I start off a lot of my speeches around the world saying, you know, I grew up with nothing. And, you know, if I had a basement when I grew up, you know, your basement had a basement. I thought I grew up with nothing, with a single mom and six kids packing my dinner in a paper bag. You yourself were born outside of the United States. And yet, you know, nobody's an overnight success.
Correct.
We all have to come from somewhere. I would love for you to share with us the story about where you came from.
Absolutely.
And then we'll talk about how you got to where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you for having me. I was 18 years old, just like any other teenager, living out in Brazil. I was born and raised in Brazil. One of those nights, my dad looked at me and he said, son, you are the only family member that does not speak English.
Why didn't you speak English?
And I think it was a combination of probably not having enough drive. I was also growing up as trying to figure out life as a teenager. I didn't have the best grades. You know, I did not know what I wanted to do. My uncle, it's a self-made entrepreneur who started from nothing, built a very nice business. So I could also see from him an inspiration that if you believe and you could do something, you could. You just need the drive.
My dad. Were you popular in high school?
I was not.
You were.
I was not. Yeah, and I was. It was interesting because I was always trying to fit in, and I wasn't sure where I belonged. At the same time, my dad, which is crazy, he went to school to be a priest. Which then later ended up meeting my mom, and something happened, and then he changed path. But and he graduated, like, he's like a philosopher in life, but with focus on marketing. And when you got the combination of my uncle, self-made, which dropped out of school and just went for it, to see that gave you that passion of I can replicate what he's doing. And at the same time, my dad was, no, we need this foundation. We need a process in place. A lot of times that if I got home late, my dad would talk to me for over an hour. And I'm like, can you just yell at me and then let me go? And I think a combination of the two allowed me to have an understanding of what was possible, that you need discipline. And yet you do need a drive if you want to succeed. But at the same time, I was young. I was 18 years old. My dad saw that I was a little bit lost in what I was going to do. When he approached and said, I didn't have a choice, really. So I'm very fortunate that my dad said, you're going to go to the U.S. to go to school. Dad gave me an opportunity to come to the United States to go to school. And I had to learn English, though. It was a mission. My dad was very clear. I'm only paying for 90 days, and you have to learn this thing. And of course, first day, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go to Florida. I'm going to go to Orlando, amusement parks. This is vacation time. I'm going
to
spend 3 months.
The Super Bowl.
I'm going to have a good time for 3 months, come back, and I'm going to be the coolest kid. And then day one, when I got in the U.S., I realized that now this is for real. This is a good chance, and I have to get through it. It took 90 days to learn English to a point where I was doing 500-word essays. I never had amazing grades at school.
How many hours a day did it take in 90 days to get to that fluency?
It was everyday focus on just learning. This is before
7 days a week.
Yeah, this is before Google, where you can search a word. You know, what is Ola, right? Yeah. Or hi.
Well, just wait. In a few months, iPhones are coming out with the auto translate in 93 languages.
I know.
You're gonna have in your accent.
I know. That's gonna be amazing. but this was a time where I had a dictionary, a pocket dictionary. And I carry it with me. And then I was a little bit embarrassed that it said English to Portuguese. I didn't want anybody to know that I didn't know English. So I remember putting scotch tape and putting some stickers on it. And I carry that with me everywhere. And if I would see somebody walk by with a hat that had a word on it, I would look up on the dictionary to figure out what it was. And if I didn't know, I would ask. And I really committed to it. But I went to school and I had a professor that was very dedicated into teaching me, but I only had 2 hours a day with this gentleman. But I had a short timeline, and then he would give me the homeworks, and it was 3 books. I still have the books, level 1, 2, and 3. Then if you look at the books, looking back in time, like how can somebody learn anything out of those 3 little books? But they created the foundation to be able to learn English, and then something very interesting happened in my life where I met August Busch III, third generation owner of Budweiser, by chance. I had no idea who he was, had the opportunity to meet him. We strike a conversation. My intent is to practice a broken English.
Was it a social event or a business event?
It was at University of Central Florida. Uh-huh. He was there, I believe, making a donation and speaking. I saw with a group of folks. I also picked up pretty quickly that he was a little bit older than everybody else in the room. I thought he was a professor. I actually asked for his name. He got a little bit offended, turned red, because he thought I walked across the hall to talk to him because I knew who he was, which it was not the case. Then he kind of walked away. One of his security guards gave me a business card that said Anheuser-Busch, put a name down. I had no idea what Anheuser-Busch was. I knew Budweiser, of course. But I didn't know the parenting company. And then when I reached out to that person, it happened to be there was a leadership within HR, within Anheuser-Busch. I was too young to work on the beer side, so I ended up working for Anheuser-Busch Entertainment. And during that, I learned the beer side of the whole company structure and everything else that they had. I got very excited about the potential. But what's amazing is that a situation that I wasn't expecting, an opportunity that came that happened by chance, took me around 14 countries. I got to work with incredible people, got to work on amazing brands. I got to watch incredibly talented individuals that had the drive and then had amazing mentors, because you're working for, at the time, you're working for the King of Beers. There's a lot of responsibility that wasn't the craft movement. Wasn't as accelerated as it is today,
or the wine and
the seltzer and the consumer on that category was very loyal to this is what I buy, this is what I drink, and the same thing. Those trends are translated into the auto industry. If I buy a Chevy, I want to buy a Chevy. If I buy a Ford, and so forth. So we start to see that revolution. But what was interesting was, by being surrounded by people that had skill sets that I didn't have, allowed me to pick up and learn from them. And very quickly, I also learned.
Do you think those 3 books, the 1, 2, and 3 that you still have, do you think what they were teaching you is a way to learn that you utilize with all of these different people and their situational knowledge? Is that why those books can be so small? Is it gave you a perspective or a mindset that allowed you to learn and change your life in that direction?
Yeah, I think it because it was a process on how to get to it. If you start here, and if you do this exercise, and if you improve your vocabulary, and you follow this exercise, practice, I think that core discipline allowed me to understand that there's always a path to get to something or to do something, even if you don't know. I think everybody has incredible ideas that come to them, and a lot of times, it's either a fear or a hesitation to jump in and to do something. And I think a lot of times it could be that you're afraid to not succeed, or you're afraid it's not going to work, or you're looking at the wall that you have to climb in order to achieve that vision, achieve that dream. And then I think what happens too is a lot of times ego gets in the way, right? Somebody they want to start something, and I had the idea, I'm going to do this, and then you take it from 0 to 40, but to get the 40 to 100, you need an expert, and you're not the expert, of course, because you stumble into learn. And I think a lot of people sometimes forget to take a step back and let the right folks and the right individuals to take place. And I saw that also working with a lot of different brands that we did. I remember one thing that was incredible was to be able to work on the Stella Artois brand with a great team. And here's sales strategy, then the marketing. And we are in the process of relaunching Stella Artois into the United States. Then you go to Belgium to figure out what's happening. Then you're starting to understand what Heineken was doing, what Amstel Light was doing. And you start learning from those strategies, but being able to create something from thin air that, you know, it's a 1366 brand, there's a legacy brand, but you have to connect with the consumer of today in a different country. What was interesting is that it fell back to that process. Every brand, here is 5 steps, 4 steps, you know, who is the demographic? What's the consumer look like? What's the taste profile? What do they like? What's the price point?
And beyond the process though, one of the most interesting things that parallels what I see in my life, I call them touches of favor, you know, is the ability to see things with your blinders open. And I think the influence that your father and his brother had, or if it was your uncle, sure, was the brother, because it's very parallel to my family, where my mom was, you know, doctor, lawyer, or failure. My brother's actually a rabbi, right?
Oh, wow,
so they
yeah.
see things
yeah.
in a very
black. They pause
black
and they think.
Yeah. And there's fear everywhere in every decision. It's fear based, not abundant based. They're not willing to, you know, P.T. Barnum it, as I say, you know, hey, you're going to lose everything. Well, how do you think I got here? That's the story of my life.
Yep.
But in that respect, there's some thing of whether it was, you know, meeting, you know, my professor, my admiralty law professor. The reason I went to law school is to be rich, to be an oil and gas litigator, is the one that recommended me to a publisher to be in the internet.
Wow.
Right. In 1992. And that changed my life. And then I met another guy. And then I met Lee Steinberg, and that changed my life. And Warren Moon. And these are all, I wasn't going to interview with Warren Moon. I mean, Lee Steinberg when I met him, right? I was helping somebody and he told me he had a job for me. It's like writing a name on the card.
Yeah.
I believe there's a mathematical equation to coincidence or luck. What is your philosophy or perspective? Because people can look at your life and say, oh yeah.
That was easy. Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky and easy.
Yeah.
Right? And mine too. It's all luck. But I think that there's this perspective or mindset that creates coincidence. What's your philosophy on luck or coincidence? Because you've had it a lot of times in your life.
Yeah, I think is understanding when the opportunities come up and looking, thinking bigger, but starting small. And I'll give you an example, which I learned this by a great boss that I had. Anytime that we hired for any positions in the company at the time, we weren't hiring for that job per se. We were hiring for 2-3 jobs ahead. If that person couldn't fulfill, you know, a VP level or a director level down the road, then maybe that's not the right manager to bring in, right? Because we want to make sure that people can develop and grow. And one thing that was also, I think, impacted my life a lot was I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up. And the discipline of, hey, we got tickets to go to a zoo, you know, being appreciative to do that. And my grandparents would voice that. You need to call this person. You need to say thank you. You need to write this letter. Or, you know, after lunch, we're going to clean the dishes. We're going to dry out and we're going to put the plates out. I think that also made me realize at a very young age that nothing comes. You have to be appreciative of everything that happens in life. Life is very hard. It's very challenging, but you cannot be a victim of your circumstances, right? So if I don't like what's happening right now, well, change it or find a way to improve it. But don't feel that, oh, I'm limited right now because I can't do anything. And I think what helped me too was by being surrounded by people that were really extraordinary with what they did, allow me to see and learn how they got there. And everybody had a story. none of it was overnight, right? And it all circled back people. It was all about people. And I think today more than ever, I'm always, when I meet somebody, I'm looking at people, I'm looking at the character, I'm looking at the way they behave, the discipline, how appreciative they are. And because you can always teach skills, you can always push, you can always drive. And a lot of times we'll have opportunities to in a company and somebody might say, well, I need years of experience to do this. Not necessarily. We're looking for a total package because you can be an expert on this, but have a, not the best behavior as a person, as a human being. We can't change that. You know, there's traces in people that you can't change. And I'm sorry that you're not a fit. You know, you're doing them a favor
because
yes,
we tell them early they're not a fit. They don't waste all their time in somewhere yes. that they're not going to be destined yes. to be able to fit. Speaking of which, you somehow decide that the opportunity of creating Nekio Novak is a good opportunity. A lot of people with the executive role that they have with one of the biggest companies, most successful companies in the world, that is going nowhere. It thrives in recessions. It thrives yep. in pandemics. It thrives in good times. You know, there's always a good purpose or reason to engage with Anheuser-Busch. But more importantly, you decide that it's not enough. Right. And, you know, for you, what was the decision-making process to start Nekio Novak and to get into a space, you know, that other people, once again, would probably be afraid of? They would too much enjoy what they would be losing to go ahead and start a new venture.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think what was interesting is that when you get, we got to work on so many different brands and build and see the success. And eventually I started to realize that, well, we've done 2-3 brands. We accelerate brands every year. You tell us what we need to grow, we'll grow, it will scale. And it got to a point where you start to think, maybe I could actually do this on my own. However, you're still not sure if you can actually do this. So one of the things that I knew I would miss by leaving a big corporation, a dream job, and an incredible company where I learned so much.
How many years were you there?
20 years. And yeah, I have the no joke. Utmost respect for everything that they do, and it's incredible, and they have amazing friends. So I started to identify, what am I missing if I leave? Okay, so I need structure. I need to start identifying who are the right key players, because my skill set is here, but I don't have this skill set, or I don't know what this person can
or
do.
Or this resource.
Or this resources. Right? Resources
in 20 years that you yes. may or may not be aware of.
Yes.
I worked for a huge multi-billion dollar company yeah. myself. And when I left, I was much younger and I didn't stay as long as you, but it was like, whoa, I didn't realize, you know, even payroll had so many different things to do.
Yeah, trust me. And once you start, moving from an employee to becoming an owner, you start realizing that everybody gets paid and you not necessarily get paid.
Right.
Right.
That's a beautiful lesson.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's amazing. I remember, I never forget like going through the process of also how fast the resources and the cash goes. Because sometimes a simple activity lead that you think that you budget out, it's going to be this, and all of a sudden there's all those hidden details, and then I always go back into
that dummy tax.
Yeah, and right? I always go back to those, you know, that the three books or my grandparents telling me that you have to do this and this, and there's no detail that is irrelevant. Everything matter. And the more and more that I saw from having a business is that you can never leave it for a chance. Oh, this is going to happen. I know this person wants this. It's going to happen. We're in. It's all good. No, it's not. A lot of times, if you don't inspect what you expected, it doesn't get done. And that was another boss I had that he would come up with an amazing plan. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to deploy it. And if we did not go and check the stores, the retail stores, the grocery stores, to make sure that the product was up, that the yeah. pricing was right, it wasn't even get done. And I think a lot of times there that people see the excitement and the fun part of it, but they don't look at how hard it is to make sure all those little pieces are in place. And I give you a good example was We had we growing market share, and we had one zip code in the country that market share went down drastically within literally 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. So everybody's pulling reports. You have the smartest people in the room. It looks like a NASA, control center. And I'm like, well, this market here is 3 hours from my house. I'm going to drive down there. So I drove down to the actual retail stores that were driving the decline. And all I learned was that it was an independent convenience store. They lost the barcode for the Bud Light can. So anytime somebody was buying a beer can of that size, they were ringing another different UPC brand. Code yeah. of a different brand. And that impacted the decline of the report. But none of us at headquarters could figure that out. And it was literally sitting, going into a store, looking at the shelf, sitting there with a store operator to learn that it was it was so simple. But that simplicity was causing a huge impact in the data, and nobody could figure it out.
Right. It's an old saying, right? Be more interested than interesting. Last question real quick.
Sure, yeah.
Quite a journey. There's millions of teenagers right now, especially because of the pandemic, that are sitting in the same position that you were in. They don't know what to do. They're probably a little bit paralyzed by pressures from the parents and the aunts and the uncles and the grandparents and siblings, everyone thinking they know what's best for them. And they're scared. And they're going to make these subtle decisions that are going to change their life. You to go ahead and open the blinders and say, you know what? I'm going to go to Disneyland, Disney World,
yep.
right? But then take advantage of it.
For sure.
For day one, you realize I got 90 days.
Yeah.
And that,
I got to get it together.
Will change my life. And you put your intention and attention into changing your life. You allowed your faith, it delivered itself in a different way by meeting, Anheuser-Busch himself. But you really, day one, when you got to Orlando, you started to put your attention and intention into a different direction. What advice do you give after all these years and successes you have in Nekio Novak and all the journey of being a great entrepreneur? What advice do you give to those millions of teenagers that are sitting exactly where you are sitting, some country, somewhere, not knowing? What advice do you give them?
Great question. And I get a little emotional too, because it brings me back
to that.
It brings me back to that time. what's important is that when you're sitting there looking back, it was one, believing in yourself that you have the power to do just about anything that you like to do, and learning the process, or asking for questions, or not worrying about other people think, because a lot of times, like if I ask a young teenager today, which had happened, I asked this kid and he said, my dream was to start a valet company. I said, oh, that's great. And I said, have you budget for it? He's like, oh, it's going to be about $1,200. I'm like, oh, that's great. Okay. I'll match it. I told him, I said, I'll match it. You put 1200, I'll put 1200. Oh no, 1200 is so much. I don't want it. Oh, and then I turn around and then ask again another question. They said, hey, have you seen the new cell phone? And he's like, yeah. How much is that? 1200. I said, you're going to buy one? Oh yeah. I'm saving up to buy one. I said, well, what if you started this company or follow your dream or put priorities in place to what you want to do? Within 6 months, you can buy that. You can buy four of those. But if you don't take the time to pause and understand that that you need that discipline in order you need to put the time in order to do something. It doesn't matter if you want to be an artist, a musician, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you have an amazing idea. What everybody has today between this generation and in the past, we did not have the cell phones and the power of information. So today you can learn so much just by looking at your phone. You can prep yourself for a topic that you want to get in the business just by doing a little bit of research. And we can see, and I see this today when you meet somebody and they want to get into a space, and if they had spent 10 minutes researching, they would know what the pitfalls were or where the warning flags were. And I think when you're a young teenager trying to figure out life, a lot of times you forget that if you want to start your company and my business is going to be X, try to learn about that. Because what you're going to realize is that the information and the power of knowledge, it's at your fingertips, which I didn't have that growing up, and my parents didn't, and grandparents. So commit the time to learn what you're trying to do, because I guarantee you that if you tell somebody that oh, there's five episodes of this TV series and it's going to block your day, they're going to spend time doing that because it's fun, it's easy, it's entertaining. But when you say, hey, here's three books.
Change your life.
Read three books, or listen to this person, or make a phone call, ask somebody, look for somebody that it's in that field, and ask questions if actually this is something that you want. I think it's just, don't be afraid to start, but have the discipline to do it, and learn that nothing comes easy. There is no overnight success. That does not exist. And luck is, you have to create the luck, right? It's not something that just happens. And everybody has amazing ideas. Everybody has opportunities that come to them, but only a few people realize and grab them and go forward. And I think my advice would be to be brave and believe in yourself that you can do it. Don't hesitate, because if you hesitate too much, the time goes by and then that opportunity is gone.
And we
see that with investments, because we'll have a great idea that someone else comes in, and we go through the process of people, product or services, and then the process, the discipline. And if they take too long, or if they are not sure or they dance around their idea, well, this idea is no longer good, because
things move fast.
Yeah, and now we lost confidence that you know what you want to do. And I pull back into, like, if you have a bunch of friends and you say, hey, I'm gonna order pizza, what do you guys want? And you gotta order 20 pizzas. But if you walk in and say, hey guys, I got pizzas, cheese, pepperoni, and veggie, help yourself.
Yeah,
it's done.
Nice.
And just you know, believe in yourself to make those decisions. And a lot of times people think going into a management position or doing something like that is it's easy, because you're moving into a position to make decisions, and not every decision is fun, right? Having to put in the work, it's not necessarily fun.
Try firing someone.
Yeah. And that's another one. Yeah.
Well, Rick Necchio, Necchio Novak, thank you so much. You should be the poster child for my favorite saying, be more interested than interesting. Changing your life through making those decisions and paying attention and intention to the coincidences that you truly desire in your life. And your life is a testament to that. I appreciate you so much for your playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.